Good morning, everyone. And Bishop Soto has sent a letter to all the priests in the diocese, and he has asked that this weekend, because this coming Wednesday, January 22nd, marks the 41st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision by the Supreme Court, which first allowed abortion in our society. He has asked that all the priests in the diocese speak to their parishioners this weekend about pro-life issues, and especially about the evil of abortion. I feel like I've done that over the last 4.5 years on different occasions, in different ways, even dedicating homilies to that. And so I would like not to focus so much on that, but the root of the problem. And I also don't feel there's a need to speak on abortion in particular, because I hope, I pray that we are all on the same page. In 40 years, there have been over 50 million abortions in our country. That is 1/6 of the percentage of our population today. So nearly 2 whole generations lost. It's estimated that there are approximately 4,000 abortions across the country every single day. 1 in every 4 women, or perhaps even 1 in every 3 women, is the estimate of those who have had abortions. There's no question any longer, not just religiously, but even medically or scientifically, is the child in the womb a living human being? There's no doubt about that. The question is simply, does a mother or a mother and father have the right to bring their child to life or not? And God has already spoken on that. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not take innocent human life. Okay, so abortion. To focus on the root of the problem, because the problem never goes away. And oftentimes you'll hear people speak about abortion over and over, and we've heard enough of it, you know, Father, we've been there before. But we don't often hear, what is the primary cause? Why has our society become an abortive society? Why are we not open to life after it has been conceived? Because we were not open to life before it was conceived. We have become an abortive society because we were first a contraceptive society. The two will forever go hand in hand because they operate by the same underlying principle. I want to govern when life begins and when life ends. And we've reached such a point, at least in the Western world, where there are entire nations that are practically contracepting themselves out of existence. The birth rate in Italy and in France is a negative birth rate. They're not even reproducing themselves. And if those countries continue on that trajectory, there will be less Italians in Italy in 50 years than the Italian population. There will be less French people in France than those from outside of the country. And even in the United States, if it were not for immigrants, Catholics would not be reproducing themselves. I oftentimes don't have the courage to say it, and I never intend to say it in an attacking way, but sometimes people say, you know, Father, what's going on? Why are Catholic schools not surviving? Father, why aren't there enough men entering the priesthood? Because Catholics aren't having children. I am not saying by that just because someone contracepts, they would have abortion. But you would be surprised to know the number, and I've encountered many, many people who think abortion is unconscionable, who would never, ever, ever even consider it. That's for other people. And something goes wrong while they're contracepting, or they forget to take the pill, and then they have an unwanted, unplanned pregnancy. Many, many abortions are had by people who would never, ever consider themselves as someone who would even consider such a thing. Up until the year 1933, and it's important that we know this as Christians, every Christian denomination in the entire world, not just Catholics, every Christian denomination in the world considered contraception a moral evil. It was not permitted in any Protestant denomination until the year 1933 at the Lambeth Conference, when the Episcopalian Church gave in and allowed it in certain circumstances. Within 30 years, every Protestant denomination in the world permitted contraception. There was only one holdout among Christians, and that was the Catholic Church. And so suddenly there was immense pressure on the Holy Father in 1965, Pope Paul VI. Holy Father, come on, when are we going to get with the times? Lay people, priests, and even bishops all throughout the world. And there were four arguments made. The Holy Father should overturn this teaching for these four reasons. And I want to list them for you because they are still held by many, many people. The first, Holy Father, if you change this teaching, there will be less divorce among Catholics. Because there can be intimacy without consequences. And so marriages will be stronger because of that. Second, there will be less infidelity. For the same reason, because there can be more intimacy. Third, there will be less unwanted pregnancies. Fourth, there will be less single mothers trying to raise families in the world. Those were the four reasons why other Christian denominations said, gosh, we should go this direction. It will be good for married couples and for families. And the Holy Father came out with a document in 1968 called Humanae Vitae. And if you have not read it, it is a short, simple document that every Catholic should be familiar with, because it gives the reasons why our church still holds what has always been held from the very beginning. And that's the way the Holy Father began. He said, I do not have authority to overrule this. I cannot change this teaching. This is the constant teaching of the faith since the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. This comes to us from the apostles. You can't say one day something is immoral and the next day it's okay. And he says, you have given me four reasons why this ought to be changed. He said, all four of those reasons, if this were changed, the exact opposite would happen. And people mocked him all across the world, including bishops, priests, and lay faithful. Oh my gosh, right? He has no idea. He's a celibate man. What's he thinking? The divorce rate in 1968 was 27% in the United States, even less among Catholics, close to 10%. In 2013, the divorce rate is over 50%, and Catholics are not far behind. Infidelity. I don't even think we have to mention what has happened with infidelity in the last 40 years. There will be less unwanted pregnancies. 50 million children later. The percentage of single moms trying to raise a family will decrease. In the year 1968, the percentage was 9% in the United States. It is now 30%. Amongst African Americans, it is 70%. But one of the main reasons he gave in defense of the church's teaching all down through the ages was this. He said, if contraception were allowed, women would be more disrespected than ever before, even by their own husbands. Women would be greatly objectified. Not long ago, a medical doctor came to speak with me. It wasn't even in this country. And a medical doctor who was involved with fertility. And in the course of our conversation, she was a returning Catholic, had been away from the church for a number of years, and she sort of scoffed at the church's teaching on contraception. And she said, "Father, come on, really?" And I said, "Well, are you familiar with natural family planning?" And she said, "Father, the rhythm method?" It might have been referred that way in the 50s and 60s. She has not read a single church teaching in 50 years on this issue. As is true of many, many Catholics, we don't even know why the church teaches this. I grew up having no idea whatsoever, and I would not have agreed with church teaching on this matter until I began to study. Natural family planning is a scientific method that is as foolproof as any form of contraception, if not even better. So I have young engaged couples, and when they come to me, I have to present them church teaching. And I've heard numerous times, "Father, what? I don't want to have 10 kids." And I say, the church does not tell you how many kids to have. The church says it is morally evil to contracept in marriage or at all. That if you are going to plan pregnancies, or for just reasons, wait for a period of time to have more children, you ought to do so in the way that God designed the human body, especially the bodies of women, that there are times of fertility and times of infertility. And I'll often get the immediate response, "Father, you know what? What does it matter if it's artificial or natural?" And I say, there are many reasons. Let me just give you a few. And I look at the woman and I say, if you want your husband to respect you, you will ask him that if you are going to plan your pregnancies, that you do so in a natural way. That you never feel like you are being used. That you are being objectified by your own spouse. The families I know who practice natural family planning are amongst the healthiest families that I am aware of. Because the spouses have to communicate in a way that is not necessary when artificial means are being used. And that's when the relationship becomes much, much stronger. There is also the openness to God's will, not us seeking our own wills. He has a plan for every family. He knows the number of children which each couple is supposed to bring into the world. And oftentimes he's not invited in to that decision making. I would like to close with a letter. One of my favorite letters that I've received since being pastor here at Presentation. And I'll just read a little excerpt. "Dear Father Leatherby, we had just sent out the announcements about our child's birth. I wanted you to know that our beloved baby would not be here if it were not for you. When you first came to Presentation, my husband and I were very content with the size of our family and had no intention of adding more children to our already busy life. My husband and I took great pride in being responsible parents. Then we began to learn our faith and we discovered the sacredness of life. and that we were being selfish and even sinful, though no one had ever told us that. We were ignoring God's plan for our family, and we came to realize that we could no longer put our desires before His holy will, even though that would take a huge leap of faith. 18 months later, after placing our family in God's hands, He gave us the gift of our child. I am incredibly and eternally grateful for her life, and grateful to you for inspiring that initial spark that led our family to where we are today. My brothers and sisters, if you want to assist the church, if you want to assist the world in bringing an end to abortion, it can only happen when we cease to be a contraceptive society. And if you do not currently understand why the church teaches what it teaches, I beg you to please take the time to learn.